This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We have Sherry Engler with us today. She's a psychic, a consultant, a mentor with a degree in psychology, and she's an avid student of quantum physics and cosmology, researching the cosmos. And she's also an author, and she also does the work with all the artwork in the book. So welcome, Sherry.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
It's so good to have you on the program today. The book that you have written, Pearls of Wisdom, is for all ages and all people.
Right. It's a guide to the magical things that happen in the universe. It's kind of an insider view of how things work so people can use them to their advantage.
Mm-hmm. And that the one of the things that we learn in it is that we do actually plan the conflicts in our lives to move through things we need to move through.
Yeah, so there's a difference between the person that's in this lifetime, it's like we just kind of rent a body, and the soul that is kind of guiding the whole journey. So the soul, before you come into each life, plans what you want to experience in this life, like if you were signing up for college classes. And yeah, we learn from that. Unfortunately, we learn through conflicts and what's called contrast. I've always wondered, why can't we just learn through happy things? But it apparently just doesn't work that way.
So the more pain we have in the life, the more we're learning.
I'm sorry, the line isn't very clear. Can you repeat that?
I say the more pain we have in our life, the more we're learning.
Well, actually, I mean, if you think about it, look back through your own life. I mean, the fun things are wonderful, but how much did we really take away?
Mm-hmm.
But look back at the painful things we've experienced, and it's like, wow, yeah, boy, never doing that again, or I really get that now. You know,
sure.
So yeah, we do learn through conflict, and we plan that ahead of time.
Do you think we actually plan our lives before we are born?
Yes. So I'm a medium, an intuitive, there's a lot of words for that. And in our world, you know, among intuitives, you'll find the same answers across the board. We are privy to information that the general public isn't usually. And it's kind of my endeavor here to get that information to the masses so that they can understand the things that we get straight from the other side. Those two worlds have been kind of unnecessarily separated for too long. And the information that we get, talking to those who have crossed over, angels, guides, is that, yeah, we do plan everything. And interestingly, when I read for someone, I kind of combine a lot of different things when I do readings. I teach and I explain how things work, and I bring through the guides. And lots of times, if I'm looking at their past lives, they'll show me on purpose, one life after another, knowing that I'll catch the theme. And then I'll see, oh, yeah, you're actually living that in this life, too. So it's not just this life that we try to work things out. The guides will purposely show me lives that they've tried several times to work something out. So if they just have that information up front and say, look, this is how things work, you have a chance to resolve this in this life. You don't have to do this again. I think it really helps people to just bring that information out into the open and give them a tool to use.
Absolutely. So, Sherry, how can we figure out the reason for why we planned certain conflicts, or why do we have to move through the things we have to move through?
Because the soul's number one purpose is to evolve, and that's the whole purpose of the universe. The universe only has one intention, and that's to expand or to grow and evolve. And we're parts of that universe, so our soul wants to expand and learn and grow.
So are we responsible to blame for bad relationships or accidents or illness or death?
Thank you for asking that, because that's always the question that comes up. This is probably the most important part of this whole concept. We're not to blame. We need to completely flip that perspective. We need to be grateful. So the people that show up in our lives that are disastrous relationships and detrimental and even abusive and other things, we have to remember that we're the ones that plan that. We're not to blame, and they're not to blame, and the soul is neutral. So it's not even to blame either. It just wants to grow and learn. So if you strip all of the heavy meaning to everything and just understand that your soul is just trying to have experiences, on a neutral basis just so it can learn, it really takes the blame away from everybody. So the people that are in your life and cause some of the problems, they're actually people in your soul family. And you've asked them to do these things for you, okay? They get to be the bad guy, or they have to be the bad guy this time. You might have to be the bad guy next time. So we kind of come through with what's called contracts to live out things so that we can grow. So instead of blaming ourselves or anybody else, it's just so much easier to be in gratitude and thank these people in our lives or these situations because they gave us the opportunity to learn something and it was pre-planned and they pretty much agreed to being the bad guy for you. And that really is backed by a lot of love, if you think about it.
Backed by a lot of love and being able to thank all the teachers in our lives, no matter how difficult.
Yes, everything in our lives is a teacher, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. We're here on Earth. Earth is called, sometimes it's called a playground, sometimes it's called a stage, and we're the writer, producer, director of our lives. I see it mostly as a school. So yeah, everything that we experience here on Earth is something that we came here to learn. And the more people can help us learn, the more grateful we can be. And when we're in gratitude, this goes into law of attraction, we can draw better things to ourselves. If we stay in a negative vibration and are just hateful and blaming and victimhood, basically, then you're going to draw more of that. And so this is why I wrote the book. There's so many little secrets of how things work. And it's in fairy tale form, so that it's much easier to read than being preached at or a self-help book, even though it is. But it's a story that takes you through somebody's life, and they say, oh, I can't take anymore. And you're sure you can't, but then you do. You know, we do survive, and we don't give ourselves credit for that. We do make it. We need to have more faith in ourselves that we knew that we could handle the things that we planned.
So, Sherry, if we planned our lives before we were born and we're calling these conflicts in to grow, can we change what we've planned?
Oh, excellent. Yes. Thank you. So that's part of the law of attraction, but it's also free will. So inherent in every soul that exists is free will. We can change our mind, but you can't if you don't know how the game is played, basically. So you can say, oh, you know what, I'm really tired of doing this. I don't want to do this anymore. But you kind of have to think, what would my soul have wanted me to learn from this bad situation I keep repeating? Figure out what you needed to learn, whether it was getting over helplessness or that you needed courage or standing on your own. Whatever it is, learn that. Bring it into yourself and then move on. Move on from there. You can use your free will to say, I'm going to change my chart. I'm going to learn this right now. And then you can use law of attraction. Decide what you want in your life and then be that. Have the feelings of that, whatever it is that you want. Have the thoughts of that situation and act as though you are that. That's the basic definition of law of attraction. You'll create a vibration, and that's what a metaphysicist is separate, I guess, from a regular psychic. I understand a lot about vibration, and a lot of psychics do, but I see psychic work as a science, really. So what you're going to do is create the vibration, the resonance, and then you're going to put it out to the universe, and it's a universal law that it has to match whatever you are and give that to you. It's actually a law, and that's why everybody's always abuzz about the law of attraction, because it actually works. However, the downside is if you stay kind of in a bummer mode, you're going to keep drawing that. If you stay in lack, and you keep asking for something, the universe is going to say, well, if you keep asking for it, you must not have it. So I'm just going to keep giving you more of what you already have. So it's a really important keys on how you can change your life.
So we do have free will to change our lives. And in order to create the higher vibration, what do we do? Do we sense it? We seek it? We try and be around that vibration to bring us up? Or stay away from the vibrations that feel lower?
A lot of people don't know what vibration is. And, you know, personally, I just hate it when somebody's talking about their field of work and they keep using the words in that field of work. And it's like, okay, I don't know what you're talking about because you're not explaining any of your words. So let me just start with vibration. Vibration is a resonance. And when somebody says, raise your vibration, well, that's like what psychics do. We raise our vibration. The other side lowers theirs because they're very high. We meet in the middle and we exchange information. But in a very simple way, raising your vibration is as simple as being happy. That's what it means to raise your vibration. When you're happy, you go up. Just think about it. Think about how you feel. Think about the lift. Think about how we think of birds and the wind under our wings. We're light and we're happy. That's a high vibration. So first of all, you have to decide what you don't want, decide what you do want, and match that vibration. And hopefully it's a happy thing you're trying to match. So keep your vibration high. Look at what is good in your life. Don't look at what's wrong.
So starting off with your gratitude list and creating joy. How long did it take you to write this book?
I'm sorry, what?
How long did it take you to write this book?
Oh, no. Okay, well, 18 years.
18 years for this fairy tale. Why would it take such a long time to create such a beautiful fairy tale?
I had to experience all those things. So I would write it and stop, and I'd go through some horrible trauma. And then I'd write more. So I was this young princess's life. It was like a parallel with me. But you see that this is what I contracted to do. I contracted to come in and write this book, and I agreed. I agreed, unfortunately. I'm going to have a serious talk with myself when I get back on the other side. But I agreed to go through these experiences so that I could write about them from an authentic place. So when people did read it, they say, oh, yeah, I really feel like that. I mean, there's losing your family. There's grief. There's dark versus light. There's dealing with evil people. There's having to find the courage to get up again. But there's also a lot of magic, and it's about magic and wisdom. So, yeah, I took a long time to write this because I had to live it all. I guess that was my agreement.
So are you the princess in the story?
Yeah, pretty much. I am, yeah.
And in your story, do you have an Aunt Tilly? Or does that come from a lot of wisdom?
You know, I don't know if it's like this with other people who write, but it's like those characters are real. I swear to God, it's like they just talk to me. You know, I'm writing, and it's like they're really real, and they're saying, okay, now write down that I'm saying this, and I'm saying that. It's like they're actually real beings. I feel like I could have a conversation with them right now, and they would say something wonderful. I don't know where that comes from other than I do channel, and I do believe that a lot of this was channeled from angels, so this information would be out for the general public, and then they could read it in just kind of a delightful fairy tale form. And I don't know why we ever lost fairy tales. I guess this is my bid to bring back fairy tales and illustrations for grown-ups. I don't know why we lost pictures in our books either.
That's wonderful. Sherry, we're going to have to go to a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about more about your fairy tale guide to life's magic secrets for all.